Bhakti Vinod Thakur is teaching us the essence of the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the fallen souls of this world. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. This chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is eternally taking place in Goloka or Krishna Loka in the spiritual world. When the Lord descends into this world, He brings His abode with Him. Gokul Vrindavan is none different than Goloka Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that Krishna manifested in this world is the self-same place that Krishna is eternally performing His pastimes with in the spiritual world. And He has brought His associates. Simply to attract our hearts. After Krishna left this world about 5,000 years ago, Vrindavan, although still non-different, became covered. Only a person who has the pure vision due to unalloyed devotion can actually see Vrindavan as it is. Vishaya chadiya kabe sudahabhimana kabe hamaherabo sri Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, when will that day be? When there is no longer any ambition to enjoy separately from Krishna. When there is no desire for sense gratification, then that real attachment for Krishna consciousness awakens. Then only will I be able to see Vrindavan. Then only will I be able to understand Krishna's abode. When Krishna performed His closing lila in Prabhaschetra, with His associates, He left this world. But one thing He leaves behind, His holy name, fully manifested, fully visible to all who are willing to accept it with faith. The name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. This Hare Krishna is the deity and sound vibration of Radha and Gopinath. Within the name are the pastimes of the Lord, the abode of the Lord, the associates of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the form of the Lord. The holy name has descended from Goloka, but is the most merciful aspect of the Lord. Krishna reveals His pastime and then goes. But His full-fledged mercy remains here in the form of the name. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, their special mission was to give unparalleled concession to the holy name. Because unless one is of a very high caliber of spirituality, one can easily commit offenses to Radha and Krishna. Actually, the name is not different than the deity. To offend the name is like offending the deity. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, seeing that the people of Kali Yuga are so naturally offensive, they gave a special dispensation. We'll forgive you for your offenses. Just chant Hare Krishna. And gradually, as you make a little advancement, only 10 offenses. Previously, there were hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, no hard and fast rules. Actually, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were heavily condemned by many Brahmins, because their conception was this holy name is so sacred. It shouldn't be offended. You can't chant it loudly unless a person is following all the Brahminical standards very, very strictly. The name should not touch their ears. So it must be chanted silently, only by very qualified, initiated people of Brahminical standard. But Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they gave the name to everyone. The Brahmins could not tolerate this, many of them. They're giving the names to Shudras and to Chandalas, to Malechas. Krishna will be so disturbed by this, he will destroy the universe. Why Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda did this? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He only has the authority to do so. The only qualification, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Dina hina yata chilo harinamu tharilo tara sakshi jagai madhai. Whether you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or a Chandala, or a Malecha, or an American, or a European, or an African, or an Australian, or an Indian. Man, woman, pious or impious. Jagai and Madhai were number one criminals, murderers, drunkards, rapists, thieves. If you simply accept the holy name with faith, with a willingness to give up your sinful activities, you will get love of God. It's that simple. Yes, the holy name is always with us. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also. The Lord came, performed his Leela for 48 years, and then he disappeared from the world. But he invested by his causeless mercy entrance into the spiritual world to everyone through what he left behind, the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, there is no more merciful manifestation of the Lord than we find in his name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, there's no hard and fast rules. You can chant anywhere. You could chant whether you're laying down to sleep, whether you're eating, whether you're working, whether you're driving, whether you're responding to nature's calls, anywhere. And if we simply chant with this faith, guarding against these simple offenses, a transformation takes place. It cleanses us of our sins. It cleanses us of our material illusions and attachments. And as our attachments wane, we become more and more attached to the name. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when your offenses are vanquished, you will obtain the treasure of love of God. But in these names of Chaitanya Nitai, there is no considerations of offenses. Once you have a taste for the holy name of Krishna, bondage to this world will come to an end. The Krishna consciousness is all about this simple process, developing a taste for chanting the holy names. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how the holy name is so sweet. It's the essence of all sweetness. It's the most intoxicating of all experiences. Only a heart that is so hard, comparable to being steel framed, will not irresistibly melt when it chants the holy name. But even if we have such hard hearts, if we just go on chanting with a nice service attitude, gradually the heart must melt because Krishna is irresistible. Rupa Goswami explains the effects of the holy name in his life. I do not know how much nectar the two names Krishna have produced. When I chant the holy names, the name enters my ears. I wish for many, many ears. Actually, it begins with tongue. When it dances on my tongue, I desire many, many tongues. When it enters my ears, I desire millions of ears. And when it enters my heart, it conquers my entire life. That is the effect of chanting Hare Krishna when we have a pure heart. So Lord Chaitanya has given us the Shikshastakam. He has quoted from the Puranas the 10 offenses, and he's given us a wonderful life of service. It's so simple. Anyone can do it. And we can gradually develop this taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Haridas Thakur explains that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is like the rising of the sun. When the sun rises, all darkness, all negativity is dispelled, and it reveals everything in truth. And Krishna tells what is truth. We see Krishna everywhere. We see Krishna in everything. Because our eyes are anointed with the salve of love. When Lord Chaitanya was living in Navadvip, every night he was performing Sankirtan in the house of Srivas with his very closest associates. The reason they would not allow others in is because the type of ecstasies that were manifesting from their hearts and covering their bodies was incomprehensible to a common person. And also, they were so much immersed in the sweet moods of Vrindavan that persons who were not of that consciousness would pollute the environment, would bring down the experience. So they locked the doors and the windows and they chanted all night. And the common people who are pious, They considered that Nimai is dancing and we're not allowed to see him. What type of sins have we committed? They prayed. They prayed from the core of their hearts. When will we become qualified where we could see the beautiful dance of Nimai Pandit? But those who were too much proud, they could not tolerate that they were not allowed entrance. Who are they? They're letting untouchables and Shudras in. We're Brahmins. How could they not allow us in? Of course, Advaitacharya was the king of the Brahmins. He was dancing all night. People who were great scholars of the scriptures even. Why are they not allowing us? They began to spread horrible, blasphemous rumors all over town against Lord Chaitanya and the devotees. They won't let us in because they know we will expose them. What do they do all night? During the day, they attract young girls. Then they bring them at night, and together they dress in opulent clothes, they eat meat, they drink liquor, and they perform all kinds of tantric, obscene activities that we cannot even talk about. That's what they're doing all night. And look at these devotees. They're just useless beggars. Therefore, in the howling of their stomachs, they're screaming all night and keeping us awake. And they are blaspheming God. According to the scripture, one should chant the names of the Lord privately in one's heart. But they're chanting so loud that the Lord, who is sleeping in the ocean of milk, he will awaken and become so angry, destroy the universe. They will be held responsible. And besides that, the government, headed by the Chankazi in this neighborhood, he hates Hindus. He has outlawed any public demonstration of Hinduism. If he hears about this, he'll come and plunder the entire village and beat us and imprison on us all. Why? Because of them. So we should rally against them, break down their house, throw it in the Ganges, beat them up, tie them up, and cast them in prison. This was spreading everywhere in Navadvip. And meanwhile, the pious people, they were thinking that the reason we're not allowed in the house of Nimai is because of these people always blaspheming us, because they're always blaspheming the devotees. They're so envious. Therefore, we're not allowed to see Nimai's dancing. He doesn't want to associate with such sinful people who are so envious and speak so harshly. And when one of the blasphemers would hear one of them speak, they would scream out to the public, "He's one of them! He's one of them! Get them!" The person would have to run away. But one night, many of the pious people, they were thinking, "Let us at least offer our love in the form of gifts to Gauranga." So in the early morning, when Lord Chaitanya came out of his house, many, many people came with valuable cloth, bananas, coconuts, and other auspicious articles as gifts to Lord Chaitanya. They were very simple people. The Lord was so much moved by those very little offerings because they were made with sincere hearts that for the first time He instructed the public. He told all of them with very, very affectionate heart, please, all of you, serve Krishna. Always remember Krishna. And whatever you're doing, please chant the holy names of Krishna. With great happiness in my heart, today I am going to give you the best of all mantras, the Maha Mantra. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the first time, instructed the common people in the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He said, there are no hard and fast rules for the chanting of this mantra. You can chant anywhere, at any time, in any circumstance. But keep this mantra always on your tongue and in your heart. Your heart will be purified. And you will achieve the goal of love of Krishna. Whether there's two of you or five of you, come together as a group in your homes or in your shops or wherever you may be and clap your hands and chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. And if you have instruments, play your instruments and chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Have no fear in your heart. Chant very loudly. Go Premanandi! And you can also chant this, Lord Chaitanya told them. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namo Krishna Yadavaya Nama. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Immediately, people were so thrilled to receive a personal instruction from the Lord that all over Navadvipa people were chanting the holy names of Krishna. Nothing could be heard practically except the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. People in their homes, people in their shops, and Lord Chaitanya was going throughout the town, and wherever he saw devotees chanting Hare Krishna, he would put garlands on them. He would anoint their limbs with sandalwood and he would embrace them with such affection. The Lord felt so deeply in indebted to anyone who received his mercy. How wonderful. We have nothing to give to the Lord. The Lord is giving everything to us. And yet he's conquered eternally by anyone who simply accepts what he's giving. He's giving love of God to us. If we just accept it, then he becomes subordinate to us forever by his own sweet will. That is his pastime. So grateful. He offers obeisances to the people who are chanting the holy names. He would embrace them. He would bring gifts for them. Because he was so grateful. When Srila Prabhupada was in the Lower East Side of New York City at 26 Second Avenue, and practically anywhere he was, it was he that was sacrificing everything of his life at such an old age to give us something. And yet he would be so indebted and so grateful to anyone who accepted it. That is unconditional love, wanting nothing in return. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want anything in return from anyone. He and Lord Nityananda were simply giving, giving, and giving. Giving the highest pleasure, giving liberation, giving prema bhakti, giving elevation to the spiritual world, all simply through the chanting of Hare Krishna. And someone who would chant, Lord Nityananda Prabhu said, that person becomes my life and soul. Now, at that time we know, 500 years ago, Indy was under Mughal rule. And in some places it was very strict, especially Bengal, under the Nawab Hussein Shah. And the Chand Qazi was vicious. He was a fundamentalist, sectarian person who hated any other conception of God than himself, than his own. So people were complaining to him. They were complaining, what's happening? All of a sudden, under the influence of this Nimai Pandit, the Hindus have gone wild. They're disregarding all the rules and regulations of your government, and they're just chanting everywhere. These people, all their desires were fulfilled except one. They still hadn't got to see Nimai Pandit dance. This was their longing. And as they were chanting, they were becoming more and more and more purified. Love of God was awakening more and more in their hearts, and to the same degree, they were yearning to see the beautiful dance of Lord Gauranga. But that was not possible. That was under the closed doors of Srivasangam at night. The Chand Qazi, along with his military, were hearing so many complaints that this Nimai Pandit is just polluting everything, breaking all the laws, and he's inducing the common people to do the same. So he came into the town when he heard everywhere, in all directions, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, the names of Krishna. He was outraged. He started beating people. He picked up a mridanga and personally, with his own hands, he broke it to the ground, symbolic of his hatred. Then he ordered his soldiers to be searching through the streets of Navadvip every day, and whoever was caught chanting would be punished and plundered. the Chankazi screamed out, "What's happening? All of you lowly Hindus, for so long, you've had no real attachment to your religion. Now, due to your association with this Nima, you've become mad. Don't you know there's a declaration of the government that it is against the law to do anything public? And you're doing everywhere this chanting. It will not go unnoticed or unpunished. Stop or suffer." So these innocent people went to Lord Chaitanya and they told what was happening. There's soldiers everywhere. They're beating us. They're blaspheming us. They're stealing our property. They're threatening to imprison us. They may kill us. Lord Gauranga told them, "Have no fear. Just go and chant. Krishna will protect you." They did. They did, but they didn't. They couldn't not do his instruction, but they couldn't do it either. They were, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." They were chanting, but they were in so much anxiety and fear. Lord Chaitanya understood this. When he heard about the breaking of the Murdanga and the beating of the Vaishnavas, he was infuriated with anger. Standing at his doorstep, he became like Lord Shiva personified. Not Lord Shiva when he's sitting with Parvati. Lord Shiva when he's in his pastime of destroying the universal creation. The Lord raised his arms and cried out in a tumultuous voice, "Nityananda, immediately bring the devotees here. I have a message to speak. Today, I will personally bring the congregational chanting of the holy names into the streets of Navadvip. Today, I will lead the Nam Sankirtan party through every town and every village of this island. And I will set the house of the Kazi on fire. Let us see what he does to me. Today, time personified will stand before the blasphemers. Today, I will bring down a massive rainstorm of pure devotional service and love of God and inundate the entire Navadvip Dham. Today, I will lead the kirtan through all the streets and call upon millions and millions of people, everyone, to join in. Listen, everybody, to this great secret. Have no fear. Everyone come this afternoon with a torch. And we will destroy the house of Chankazi. Hare Krishna. The news spread everywhere. Nimai Pandit is going to dance in public tonight. They were ecstatic. It was worth anything to see that dance. Soon, fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, everyone was making torches. The whole Navadvip was like a torch factory. There was a competition who could make bigger torches. Some people, they made two or three or four torches. And there were families were coming out with torches. Some were carrying the buckets with the fuel for the torches. Others were carrying the torches. And in the late afternoon, everyone assembled. Hundreds and thousands. Soon it became millions of people assembled at the door of Niman, of Lord Gauranga. The Lord divided the crowd into three kirtan groups. The first one was the lead dancer was Haridas Thakur, then Advaitacharya. Srivas Thakur was leading, and then in the back, he was going to be the lead dancer, along with Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Unlimited mridanga started playing, unlimited kartals, horns were being blown, conch shells blown, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began Nam Sankirtan. He was dancing through the streets. It was tumultuous. But above all other, even though there was millions of people chanting, above it all was the sound of his sweet voice. And although there were millions of people dancing, Lord Chaitanya was so tall that every single person who participated in that kirtan could see Lord Chaitanya face to face. And whoever saw him was intoxicated with ecstatic love. As they were dancing through the streets with a shower of emotion, just drowning everybody's hearts, Lord Chaitanya, his beauty was revealed to the world. His complexion, like molten gold, was resplendent. His lotus-like eyes, they seemed that they were so big, they were stretching almost to his ears. His beautiful nose, like a sesame flower. His lips, which were bright red like the rising sun, were slightly opened, and his teeth were like a roll of glittering pearls. His neck was like that of a lion. His chest was broad. His waist was slender. His arms, which extended below his knees, were practically constantly raised above their head, his head. They looked like two magnificent, tapering, golden pillars. His glossy black hair, which every wave could even enchant the mind of Cupid. It was decorated with small garlands of malati flowers. He had golden silk cloth and wore beautiful ornaments. Anyone who saw the Lord in that state of ecstatic dancing was transformed forever. Sometimes the Lord became so immersed in chanting his own names in the role of a devotee. His body would actually manifest the threefold bending form of Krishna, playing on his flute. Meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was dancing beside him and Gadadhar Pandit was on the other side. This kirtan was so attractive that throughout Navadvip, hearing about it, people wanted to make their homes auspicious by welcoming the kirtan procession. So at the doors of their homes, they were drawing those nice designs, and they were putting banana trees and coconuts, and they were off putting burning ghee lamps, deeps, to welcome the Sankirtan party. And some people were throwing flowers and coins and rice to make everything very, very auspicious. But when they heard the holy name chanted and they saw the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, everyone abandoned their homes. They became so intoxicated by the holy name that the wives forgot they had husbands or children. The husbands forgot they had wives and children. The children forgot they had brothers, sisters, and parents. They all ran into the kirtan party, all chanting the holy names ecstatically. the thieves of Navadvip. They understood this is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Nobody locked their doors. Nobody even closed their doors. They just ran out to join the kirtan. So the thieves were running to the houses of the wealthy people to steal everything they could get. But as they were running, they happened to cross the kirtan party. And they heard the chanting. And they happened to see the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga dancing. They forgot that they were thieves. They were swept away by this tsunami wave of ecstatic bliss. And soon they just entered into the ocean of Nam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name. Everyone, their loving devotional qualities were manifesting from their hearts in such a way they not only loved the Lord, they loved each other. Suddenly people, even to strangers, maybe even to people they didn't like, they were embracing each other. They were falling at each other's feet and taking dust from each other's feet. Some people were just, whoever was next to them, they became so attached to that person's lotus feet that they tied their hair onto their feet. In this way, the kirtan procession, it was like the Ganges flowing with millions of people through the streets of Navadvip, going from town to village. And all the while, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his voice was resounding within everyone's ears. His darshan was capturing everyone's eyes. There was only one thought on anyone's mind: the Lord's mercy. This was the first major public Nagar Sankirtan in the history of the world. And how the Lord planned it is very illustrative, because it was in response to a major attack. Yes, sometimes Krishna's greatest blessing comes in the most difficult times. Love of God is especially available. Krishna's shelter, his shelter is especially available in times of impossible calamity. That is why Kunti prayed, Vipadashantu tashva shva tatra tatra jagat guru. Let calamities come, because when there is calamities, I take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you, you come. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstataiva pajamyam. Krishna says, I reciprocate according to how you approach me. If we're chanting Hare Krishna, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then Krishna will reciprocate in a very inattentive way. But when there's a time of difficulty, because please understand, it was serious. The people of Navadvip, they had no weapons, they had no defense. The soldiers were coming with weapons. They were ruling the land, and they hated them. Lord Chaitanya told them to chant loudly, and it was a law against it, and they were being beaten. They were being plundered. They had to take shelter. And because they took shelter, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested this great rainstorm of pure devotional service and love of God on everyone. The kirtan resounded until that moment that the sun set. And then without anybody saying anything, simultaneously, for miles around, everyone at the same moment lit their torches. Millions of torches. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that some people thought that it looked like it was noon in the daytime, in the summer. It was so bright, the sky. And other people were thinking that Krishna must have manifested his Brahman effulgence in Navadvip. So bright. And seeing all these millions and millions of people chanting, the devotees, they were so happy. And seeing the Lord in this ecstatic mood, they were praying in their hearts, this pastime may have a beginning and end, but it is our one desire that birth after birth after birth, in whatever form of life we may take, that this pastime that we're seeing now will ever remain manifesting in our hearts. The Acharyas explain it to us. This is one of the ways that it is understood that Krishna's pastimes are eternal. It can be explained in many ways, but this is an important one that is relevant for us. Krishna appeared on this earth for 125 years, and then he went back to Goloka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on this earth for 8 years, but then he went back to Goloka. So how do we say that his pastimes are always manifested? Because in the hearts of his devotees, they are always manifested. And when a devotee hears these pastimes, when a devotee speaks these pastimes, when a devotee remembers these pastimes, because they are absolute, the Lord is performing his pastime at that very moment. There's no difference between the sound vibration of the Lord and the Lord's pastimes themselves. If we speak according to the scripture, under the direction and a service added toward to the gate souls, when we are speaking the Lord's philosophy or the Lord's pastimes, they are being manifested. And according to our faith and our devotion, we can experience the pastime as if we were there at the time when it was physically taking place. That is reality. When Krishna left Vrindavan, the gopis were crying in separation from Krishna. They were remembering Krishna's pastimes that they enacted with him when he was there. And Krishna, he confirmed that because you're thinking of me, I'm present in your heart. And because you're remembering those pastimes are in fact being enacted in your heart. There is no difference. Today, on Jagannath Mishra's Utsav, hearing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are being enacted through sound vibration and in our hearts because we're remembering them. When something wonderful happens in our spiritual life and we're being spiritually exhilarated, we can pray like this. This experience on the physical level is going to have a beginning and an end. But I pray that throughout my life and any birth I may take, let this pastime be manifested in my heart. In that way, we could capture any experience and make it eternal. If you're having a wonderful relationship with a great soul, it's like with Srila Prabhupada. Some devotees had a lot of association with him, some just a little. But remembering the pastime of being with Srila Prabhupada is to be with Srila Prabhupada. We're reliving it by remembering it. Not only reliving it, But so many of my God brothers and God sisters, they're getting even greater realizations and greater inspiration remembering it than they did when it was physically happening. Because there's something about union and separation that makes the union so intense. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, union in separation. When we remember Krishna in separation, we are united with him. But in a very intense way, in a way that goes very, very deeply to the core of the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dancing through the streets of Navadvipa with all of his devotees. And ultimately, they came to the house of Chankasi. When they were coming closer, the village of Simulia, the Chankasi happened to hear this massive sound. He said to his guards, his officers, "What is that sound?" "It sounds like some Hindu marriage." "Go find out what it is." Somebody said, "I heard that Nimai Pandit has attracted many, many people." He said, "Nimai Pandit? What is his significance? What is he going? Is he getting married tonight? What's happening? Go there. Tell me, see exactly what's happening. Stop it. If there's any problem, just come, tell me what it is, and I'll go there and stop it." So these officers of the Chankasi went out, and they saw this ocean of people. And they became so much afraid, they immediately ran back to the Chankasi and said, "It's not like what you think." He said, "There's millions of people with torches in their hands. And they're chanting the names of Hari, but many of them are chanting, 'Burn the Kazi's house.' And others are chanting, 'Kill the Kazi.'" And when we don't know what to do, I think the only solution is we should run away and escape. This Nimai he has such power. He has millions of people. And you should see the way he's dancing. He's rolling on the ground in ecstasy. There's floods of tears like the Ganges pouring from his heart, from his eyes. His hairs are standing on end. His limbs are trembling. He's roaring like a lion. The holy names of Krishna. Even when the emperor comes on procession, not so many people come to greet him. He has the entire town mad. Mad with chanting the holy names. They are absolutely fearless. So many of them ran to try to hide. But they couldn't. The crowd was everywhere. So these people, they didn't want to be detected because they were hearing, "Kill the Malechas." So they were taking off their turbans, you know, unwrapping it and putting it around like in a simple way. And then they realized they had beards. They could be detected. So they put their chins under their clothes and they took off their turbans. And so afraid that just to make sure they wouldn't be detected, they raised their arms and started chanting the holy names of God. kirtan procession came to the house of Chankazi. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, destroy his garden, destroy his walls, and we will burn his house down. And Chankazi could hear all this. And he saw before his eyes that his boundary walls were torn down, his very, very nicely manicured royal gardens were trampled, branches of trees were torn down. It was serious. What do you think Chankazi did? He hid. H-I-D. He hid. And Lord Chaitanya came right to his door and called out, Kazi! Nobody answered. So Lord Chaitanya found one of Kazi's servants and said, he became very calm. He said, tell the Chankazi that he has a guest. And he should not be so inhospitable to a guest. So Chankazi came down, and he was trembling with fear. And Lord Gauranga, he offered Lord Gauranga a seat. They both sat together. And Lord Chaitanya said, you are a cultured man. Why is it a guest has come to your house and you were hiding? You didn't even answer the door. Chankazi said, because you were in a very angry mood. But now you seem a little calmed down, so I came. But please, please know that Nilambar Chakravarti, we were from the same village area. And because of our relationship was so close when I was young, I called him Kaka. Uncle. And actually, our relationship was so deep, it was more of an uncle and nephew relationship than on the bodily concept of families. And since I have this relationship with your grandfather, therefore, you are my nephew, and I am your kaka. What? Mama? Mama. I'm sorry. I am ignorant about some of these. I've been in India for 37 years, and I still haven't got it right. I'm sorry. I'm your uncle. He said, in relationship between uncle and nephew, sometimes the uncle makes a mistake, but the nephew forgives him. So I made a mistake, please forgive me. And besides that, I have heard that people call you Gaur Hari. Can I call you Gaur Hari? Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you may. But I have some questions to ask you. Will you answer my questions? He said, yes, of course. First, you drink the cow's milk. And you have the bull tilling your fields to grow your grains. That means you're accepting the cow as your mother and the bull as your father. What kind of culture kills, drinks the blood, and eats their mother and father? Answer this question. Why you people kill cows and eat them? Chankazi said, according to our scripture, there's two paths that one may follow. One is to increase material enjoyment, and the other is to detach oneself from material life. on the path in our religion to detach oneself from material life, killing of the cow is forbidden. However, for those like me who are trying to increase our material enjoyment, it is accepted under certain rules and regulations. But I see in your Puranas, in your Vedas, there's also cow sacrifice and horse sacrifice. So what is the difference? Lord Chaitanya said, in the Vedas, no one can kill and eat the cow. No one. It is outlawed. With no questions. It is a heinous, sinful activity. And the sacrifices that you are speaking about, it was for the purpose of testing the effectiveness of the mantra. They would take an old cow or an old horse, and in the course of the yajna, they would sacrifice it, but through the chanting of the mantras, that same cow would come back to life with a young body. If you can't bring it back to life, it is a devious sin to kill it. And then Lord Chaitanya said, according to the Shastra, if you in any way participate in the killing of a cow, you have to suffer hellish conditions, the amount of times for every hair on the body of that cow. John Kazi, he said, actually, our scripture is more recent. It's kind of time and circumstance. Your scripture is very ancient and deep. And now that you say all these things, I understand there are certain things that are illogical, inconsistent. I accept what you say. Lord Chaitanya said, I have another question for you. Previously, you were breaking mridangas. You were punishing the devotees who were chanting. Why tonight? You didn't do anything to us. John Kazi said, I will explain, but I would like to explain it privately. Just you and me. Lord Chaitanya said, these are my confidential associates. There are no secrets. You can speak openly. He said, well, what happened is this. There were, my guards went out just a few days ago to attack your kirtans, your people chanting. And as soon as they went to punish those who were chanting, they came back to me and reported that their beards caught on fire and burned their faces. And then some other people came back to report to me that these people, they're constantly chanting, Hari Hari. Hari Hari. And then Hari Hari, then they went to Hari Hari, and I tried to Hari Hari, and whatever I did, Hari Hari, and I don't know Hari Hari. I can't stop saying Hari Hari. That's all that comes to my mouth is Hari Hari. He said these people went mad. They couldn't say anything but Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Then I understood something very, very mystical was happening. This was a very powerful force. And then some of the Orthodox Hindus came. And they were telling me that Nimai Pandit, he's destroying our whole Vedic civilization. These mantras cannot be chanted loudly, and he's chanting them loudly everywhere. These mantras cannot be spoken by a person unless they are of our caliber. And he's giving it to everyone, even the women.
Huh? Women chanting. What is this? It's bogus. And children. Children are chanting. And street sweepers are chanting. He's just... The entire Navadvip was going to be destroyed by his irreligious, sacrilegious activities. You are the governor. You must stop him. But I already got the reports of the burning beards and the huddy huddy. So I told him, you go home and I'll do the needful. He said, but Gaur Hari, there's something else I want to tell you. The night that I broke the Murdanga, I went to sleep in my bed. And suddenly, this most fearful creature, whose body was half man and half lion, jumped on my chest. His eyes were blazing red with anger. His sharp fangs of his teeth were sparkling. His tongue was like a dueling sword. And he roared and screamed out, Kazi! Just like you broke the Murdanga today, I will bifurcate your body. He stuck his sharp nails in my chest and started ripping me open. How dare you, he said. You have punished my devotees. You are trying to stop this chanting of the Nam Sankirtan. Therefore, today I will destroy you and your entire race. And he roared. I closed my eyes. I couldn't look at him. And I trembled helplessly. And then he said, you didn't commit too much of a mistake yet. I will give you one more chance. But if ever you interfere with the congregational chanting of the holy names, I will be back to destroy you and your entire race. And he disappeared. Then the Chankazi opened up his upper cloth and showed Lord Chaitanya and all of his devotees the nail marks of Lord Narasingha Dev. Then the Chankazi said, I understand in your Vedas that the one God is known as Narayan. You are that Narayan. You are the one God of all gods. And today I surrender to you. I take shelter to you. Lord Chaitanya gave him shelter. Said, I have one request of you. From now on, in this town of Nadia, there will never be any interference to the congregational chanting of the holy names. The Chankazi proclaimed in the presence of Lord Chaitanya that as long as I live, there will be complete freedom to the Vaishnavas to chant the holy names, and all my descendants, as long as they survive, they will never interfere with the congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, after blessing Chankazi, giving him ecstatic love of God, he left with the kirtan procession. And Chankazi left his beautiful palace to join the Nam Sankirtan. However, Lord Chaitanya sent him back home. And now the kirtan was so peaceful, and so it was always ecstatically sweet, but there was no more
chant Kazi mantras, kill Kazis or burn the house mantras. Actually, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never had any intention of burning his house or killing him or anything like that. He simply knew that this person, this is what it took to get him to take him seriously. Yes? Sometimes God does that. For people who are so hard-hearted and so fallen and so cruel, that scriptures emphasize the wrath of God. They instill within people's hearts fear of God. That's the only way they'll really take the subject serious, is if they know they're going to burn in hell forever if I don't. Just in case it's true, I better act properly. I better read the scripture and I better understand what it says, because I don't want to go to hell forever. I don't want to gnash my teeth in pain. Hare Krishna. So in most religions of the world, this is the way they get people to take their principle seriously, is through fear of God. The Chankazi was coming from that type of civilization where the fear of God was taken seriously. If Lord Chaitanya came to his house talking about the Leelas of Vrindavan, Chankazi's heart would have not taken it seriously. But when he heard, burn his house down, kill him, then he became very, very serious about the subject matter. And he opened his heart and he received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya, such an expert preacher Lord Chaitanya was. According to time, place, and circumstance, and what person, he knew exactly how to give them love of God. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took the Sankirtan party toward the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. We know the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. When Lord Chaitanya was young, as little Nimai, he would come to the home of Kolavecha Sridhar every day. Kolavecha Sridhar was so honest, it is explained he was like Yudhisthira Maharaj. He couldn't even conceive of telling a lie. What to speak of cheating someone? He wanted to give everything to the Lord, therefore he was always in poverty. He made his living selling banana leaves, and every now and then a banana, or a banana root, or a banana flower, or a banana stem. Just whatever came from the banana tree, he would just, you know, get whatever he could from that banana tree and sell it. And after selling it, whatever he made, the first half, not second, first half, he would utilize it in the service of the Lord by worshiping Mother Ganges. And whatever remained, he would somehow or other barely maintain himself and his family. Now, he was the type of businessman that he would utilize his intelligence to somehow or other make as little profit as possible. That's a pretty high standard. Because he was more concerned with his customers than himself. So therefore, he had the lowest prices. And Nimai would come and say, how much is this banana? He would tell him, Nimai would say, I will give you half. You're charging too much. If I take a big loss, how can you do this? He said, no, you are cheating me. Why you are cheating? Why you are overpricing? I will give you half. He said, if you don't like my price, go to another vendor and take it. He said, no, I know a good supplier when I have one. I will never give him up. Then he would pick up the banana and say, I will just take it for nothing. Sridhar, you are stealing my banana. Nimai Pandit, he was so beautiful that Sridhar was thinking, he's a Brahmin. It can only be auspicious if a Brahmin steals from me. Lord Chaitanya would say to him, you are always chanting Krishna's names. What do you gain from chanting Krishna's names? Look at all these people around you. They're worshipping Chandi Dev. They're worshipping Durga, Mangalacharan. And they have nice clothes. They're eating fine foods. They have nice, comfortable houses. And you? Your house is a run-down, broken-down shack. You have no furniture. There's nothing inside of it. You're emaciated because you don't get enough food. And your clothes, there's so many holes and you tie them in knots. I see at least 21 knots in your clothes. What is Krishna doing for you? You're giving all your wealth to Krishna? You're giving your life to Krishna? You're constantly petitioning Krishna's mercy by chanting his name? What has he done for you? Hare Krishna. The beautiful thing is, this is Krishna talking to him. Kolavecha Sridhar, he smiled in ecstasy. He said, Nimai, over the years in my life, I have found that the king is wearing beautiful robes and eating fine foods and living in a palace. And the bird is living in a little straw nest, only with his own feathers as his clothes, and just, you know, eating little things from trees. But I have come to find, in the passing of time, there is really no difference. Everything is temporary. Everything is coming and going. And I don't see that the standard of happiness is any greater, one or the other. It's that I am finding inner content and inner joy in chanting Hare Krishna. What do I need all of these things? And besides that, I am eating, and I do have clothes covering my body, and I do have a house. I have nothing to complain about. I have everything. This is a Vaishnava. Grateful for whatever Krishna gives. A devotee could be grateful for whatever Krishna gives because a devotee is content within his or her own heart. Srila Prabhupada told us, if we're actual Vaishnavas, all we need is four things. The association of devotees, a floor to sleep on, a little food, chapati, rice, and the holy name. That's all we need, and we could be happy. If we're really tasting Krishna, we'll be happy in any situation. Enough food to eat, just any type of clothes to cover the body, and a floor to sleep on. If we have the association of devotees, talking about Krishna, encouraging each other with Krishna, and we're coming together to do nice sankirtan. We are happy. So many great devotees were wealthy people living in beautiful houses or living in other ways. Srivas Thakur had a nice little house. He wasn't like Kolavecha Sridhar. Pundarik Vidyanidhi had a very opulent house with fine clothes. King Prataparuja was living in a magnificent palace wearing crowns. It doesn't mean you have to be like that. But what it means, if you're really tasting Krishna, it doesn't matter. You can do your duty. You can perform your work. You could live in this situation or that situation. Grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari bole tako. Whether you're a grihasta or a sannyasi in the forest. But if we're actually content with Krishna consciousness, then we're grateful for whatever Krishna gives us. We don't have to be greedy. Now, well, people will think, well, if I'm like that, if I become a devotee and I become like Kulavecha Sridhar, where will be my incentive for my career? What to speak of going to college? I'll want every student to get a better grade than me. How will I pass? It's not like that. Arjuna is the example. Arjuna was a Vaishnav. Yudhisthira was a Vaishnav. Whether they were exiled in the forest or whether they were the emperors of the entire planet, wearing magnificent garments, living in palace with so much power. And when they were fighting a war, it's not that out of humility, well, let them win. Why should they feel bad? It was their duty to fight, and it was their duty to win, and they won. You will not find anyone in the world today who was more motivated for success than Arjuna. If you think that a devotee means you can't be successful, you have no initiative, then just study Arjuna. He had such initiative. If he was an engineer, if he was a doctor, if he was an industrialist, he would have been the topmost. Yes? But he was a kshatriya, and he was the topmost. Whatever he would have done would have been topmost, because he had such initiative. But his initiative was to use it all for Krishna, to make it an offering to Krishna. When King Prataparudra wanted to retire from the kingdom to become a beggar in order to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees said, no, you remain a king, but you be a Krishna conscious king. When George Harrison wanted to give up his millions and millions of dollars in his magnificent career as a musician, Prabhupada said, no, you stay in your house, you stay a musician, but sing for Krishna. And he did it. And he became very perfect by doing so. So it is the spirit of Kulavecha Sridhar that we should understand. We cannot imitate him, but it is that spirit. The brahmacharis, they could imitate to some extent. But it is that spirit. The spirit of tasting the holy name and being satisfied. Lord Chaitanya told Kulavecha Sridhar, you are simply cheating the whole world. You are deceiving everybody. Sridhar said, he was such a simple man. He said, what do you mean by this? He said, you possess a great treasure that has massive value, but you're hiding it from the world, and you're pretending to be a poor person. Sridhar said, no, I'm not duplicitous. I'm not like that. Where is my treasure? Look in my house. Whatever you see is what I am. No, you are deceiving. And I am going to reveal to the world the treasure that you're hiding from everyone. Now, after the inauguration of Nagar Sankirtan in the streets of Navadweep, in that procession to Chankazi's house, the procession went right to Kulavecha Sridhar's house. Lord Chaitanya was leading it. And with all those people, the intimate devotees were surrounding Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya saw, just outside the house, there was an old, dented, metal pot. It had so many holes in it, and it was repaired so many times, and so many dents, that the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat declares, even the most desperate thief would not even look in the direction to consider stealing such a thing. Now, some people are so worried that somebody's going to steal what I have, and it's big anxiety. Kulavitcha Sridhar had no anxieties. Nobody wanted anything he had. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at that pot. It was a pot that Kulavitcha Sridhar used for all his different personal purposes. He would drink from it, he would wash from it, he would clean with it. He drank right out of it. Lord Chaitanya went right to that pot, lifted it up, and drank the water of Kulavitcha Sridhar. The devotees could not believe what they were seeing. Kulavitcha Sridhar fell to the ground and screamed out, "Now I am dead. You're drinking from my pot. That's the water that my lips have touched. That's the water that I've washed myself with. How can you do this, my Lord?" And Lord Chaitanya, tears flowed from his eyes in ecstasy. His hairs were standing on end, and his limbs were trembling. And he proclaimed to the whole world that today my desire has been fulfilled. The nectar of the water of Kulavitcha Sridhar I have drunk. Finally, today, after drinking this water, I have experienced ecstatic love of Krishna. All my desires have been fulfilled. This poor banana leaf seller, Lord Chaitanya was glorifying in the highest way. Mahaprabhu was crying in ecstasy, drinking that water, and the devotees, Advaitacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Gangadas Pandit, Vakreshwar Pandit, Gopinath Acharya, they all started, Shuklambar Brahmachari, they all fell to the ground. They had never seen anything so intimate and sweet as this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is humbling himself to be a beggar for the insignificant water of his devotee. Lord Chaitanya is claiming that he's being nourished with love of God by taking that water. They were all weeping, holding their heads in wonder. It was extraordinary. Everyone praised the good fortune of Kulavitcha Sridhar. Why? Because on that day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed not only to the devotees of Navadvip, but he revealed for all people, for all time to come through the holy scriptures, the unlimited wealth of a treasure that was possessed by Kulavitcha Sridhar. A treasure that was so valuable that it could purchase and conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A treasure of such value that it was eternal and made all the devotees cry. It was the treasure of his humility, his simplicity, his enthusiasm to serve, and the love of God, the love of Krishna, Krishna Prem, Braj Prem, that he received in return. Purushartha Siromani, the crest jewel of all good fortunes, is Prema Bhakti, unalloyed love of God. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have come to this world to give this treasure to all of us. Just to show our sincerity, there's certain rules and regulations we must follow. But Srila Prabhupada explained on many occasions, what is the qualification to receive this greatest treasure? Our sincerity. Our sincerity to hear and to follow. Our sincerity to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified only that post. He didn't give any credibility to be a king or a professor or a president or a ruler or a rich man or a learned man. He gave no credibility to any of that. The only post that he considered to be glorious was the sentiment of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Humble servant. Because that mood only can access the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord's everywhere. But to tune in and access that mercy, we have to have the consciousness of the servant of the servant of the servant. Humble, respectful, and eager to serve. Not to be master, not to enjoy, but to serve. Those who want to exploit others, those who want to serve others, those who want to be the proprietor of things, we're just cheating ourselves. We're depriving ourselves. We're keeping ourselves in disease and poverty. It is the service attitude that brings about good health and inner prosperity. Because with this simple disposition of life, we could taste the sweet nectar of the holy name. We can become attached to the chanting of the holy name. And in that attachment is such happiness, such contentment, that we don't need anything else. We can deal with everything, but we don't need it anymore. All we need is Krishna. That is the treasure that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to give. Just chant Hare Krishna and stop criticizing others, Lord Chaitanya said, and I'll give you the highest treasure. As we are concluding our Gaur Purnima festival, let this be our meditation. Let us thank His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for so expertly giving us this treasure. He has made this treasure available to us. And with all of his books, translations of the Goswami's literatures, the Vedic literatures, it all culminates with a simple phrase that he often spoke. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Yeah.